What a blessing. That's a beautiful song. I do want to mention that I was just informed Norm Holinsky is not in the hospital. So he is having some troubles, but he is not in the hospital. So if you were thinking about dropping in there, you will not need to do that. As far as we know right now, he is not in the hospital. All right, in 2 Samuel 19, I was in my Bible reading several months ago. I was reading through this passage. And I came to verse 22 and thought about what was going on in David's mind. And I just jotted down some notes and made it into a sermon. And just what in the world was he thinking? David said, do not I know that I am this day king over Israel? Here's what he said. He said, I know who I am. Don't tell me what I know who I am. And I want to just share with you this morning what I think he was thinking. As he tells these people are for him, they love him, but David just wants to know, look, I know who I am. I know I can make this decision. I know I can have this man executed. I know who I am. The challenge to you, do you know who you are? I mean, do you really know who you are? David, hey, very clearly, this is at the end of a terrible, terrible trial in his life. He said, I know who I am. I know who I am. Father, please bless now the preaching of thy word. Thank you for the music and the good spirit. Lord, all the folks that are here, help us to recognize we're here for a reason. And it is something from your word that we're to get, something that we're to learn today, something that will change our lives. Please do that in our hearts and our lives, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. David is in this position because of his own sin. It is the result of his adultery and subsequent murder. And you know, I remember when I first got saved, it bothered me that people that were that were becoming my heroes, I found out they had feet of clay. It kind of bothered me that God would tell me about David committing adultery. It kind of bothered me God would then tell me that David had Uriah killed. And it bothered me because Uriah was such a good man. He was such a loyal man, and it just bothered me that God would tell us that. I mean, here's David, who God says was a man after his own heart. And God tells us about his sin, and yet the older I got in Christ, the more I was refreshed to find out that God told us about these people that were our heroes, that they too were sinners. And I realized that, wow, if God could use David, and he was a sinner, God can use me. Amen. And more now, I am so glad that God told us about people that he used and told us the truth about them. God doesn't pull any punches. And so David's in trouble here. Let's look at how he got there. 2 Samuel 11, just to give you a little background on this passage of Scripture, because we do kind of pick it up in the middle of what's going on. 2 Samuel 11, we know the story. Of course, David's the king, and the Bible says the first thing that we see about this situation is David tarried. It came to pass after the year was expired at the time when kings go forth to battle. Don't miss that. It's a time when kings go forth to battle that David sent Joab and his servants with him and all Israel, and they destroyed the children of Ammon and besieged Rabbah. But notice what it says, but David tarried still at Jerusalem. Now, wait a minute. It's a time when kings go forth to battle, but the king didn't go forth to battle. We could say tonight at 6 o'clock is a time when Christians go to church. I'm not going to labor on that, but I'm just, you know, I wouldn't tarry as David did. I wouldn't tarry from doing what God wants us to do and being where God wants us to be, because you don't know what kind of trouble you're going to get in during that tarrying time, as David certainly found out. So the first thing about this is he tarried. This is all introduction. It's not the message. All right? He wasn't where he was supposed to be. When kings go forth to battle, the king ought to be there in the battle. Amen? And he tarried, the Bible said, still at Jerusalem. Had he not tarried, we wouldn't have all the rest of the story. Amen. By the way, that could be said about many of us in our lives. Had we not tarried, had we been where we were supposed to be, we wouldn't have, and we can name all kinds of things there. Then the next thing we see, it came to pass in an evening tide, David arose and from off his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house, and from the roof he saw a woman washing herself, and the woman was very beautiful to look upon, and so not only did he tarry, but then we see in verse 2, he was tempted. Verse 4 it says, verse 3, David sent and inquired after the woman. One said, is not this Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite? David sent messengers and took her, and she came in unto him, and he lay with her. He tarried, he was tempted, and then he transgressed. And verse 5, the woman conceived and sent and told David and said, I am with child, and now there's trouble. Trouble always follows sin. Always. It never fails. And so he tarried, he was tempted, he transgressed, and then there's trouble. And his adultery then led to the murder of Bathsheba's husband, Uriah, who was a loyal man. And it just makes the whole thing even more despicable what all took place. But understand, God dealt with him, because God always does. Eventually, God dealt with him, and he sent Nathan, the independent fundamental Baptist preacher, to him, the man of God, and he sent him to him. And notice 2 Samuel 12 and verse 9. Wherefore hast thou despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in his sight? Thou hast killed Uriah the Hittite with a sword, and hast taken his wife to be thy wife, and hast slain him with the sword of the children of Ammon. Now therefore, watch what God says through his prophet. Now therefore, the sword shall never depart from thine house, because thou hast despised me and hast taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be thy wife. Thus saith the Lord, behold, I will raise up evil against thee out of thine own house, and I will take thy wives before thine eyes and give them unto thy neighbor, and he shall lie with thy wives in the sight of this son. For thou didst it secretly, but I will do this thing before all Israel and before the sun. And now we come to our text, and that is part of the sword that God said he would send to the life and the house of David. And we know all the things that happened. And basically, kind of in a nutshell here, his son Absalom rebels against him. And as we come to our text, David has fled from Jerusalem because his son Absalom has become the leader of many disloyal people. And he has caused them to chase the king from Jerusalem, from his home. David has run away. He has fled. But during the lowest part of his life, and I believe this with all my heart, as he's watched these things happen in his life, he's watched all this sorrow, he's watched all the pain and sorrow come to his family. As David is fleeing Jerusalem, as he's gone through the valley of Kidron, he is in the lowest point of his life, and a fellow named Shimei comes out. And he curses David, and he throws rocks at David, and he threw dust at David, literally kicks dust up on David, cursing him the whole way. David is at the lowest part of his life as his own son is chasing him from Jerusalem and from his home. And this man, Shimei, comes out and he's cursing David. He's blaming David for the death of Saul, which certainly wasn't David's fault. It was Saul's fault because of his own sin. And he's cursing David. He throws rocks at David. He kicks dust at David. And at that time, David's men said, let us kill him. David says, no. He says, no. But now, as our story unfolds here in the text, Absalom, David's son, has been defeated. He's hanging in the hair, hanging by his hair in a tree, and we see three darts stuck in his heart, thrown from the hand of Joab. And there's a great victory that has taken place. And now David is returning to Jerusalem when we come to our text. And he's coming back as a victor. And the battle is over. But you'll notice Shimei. And this is what this is all about, really, as we see David dealing with what's going on. Shimei, the guy that cursed him, the guy that threw rocks at him, the guy that kicked dust on him, the guy that called him every kind of nasty name you could possibly call somebody, he meets David there at the beginning. He comes very, very much telling David, I've sinned, I messed up, I shouldn't have done it. Of course, he knows David has won the battle. Now, he kicked David when he was down. He spit on David when he was down. He cursed David when he was down. He threw rocks at David when he was down. He kicked dust on David when he was down. But now David's won the battle. And he's coming home. And Shimei, I can just see him. He's trembling. He's absolutely terrified. And very, very clearly, Abishai, verse 21, Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, answered and said, shall not Shimei be put to death for this, because he cursed the Lord's anointed. And verse 22, David said, what have I to do with you, ye sons of Zeruiah, that ye should this day be adversaries unto me? Shall there any man be put to death this day in Israel? Now, in my mind, I'm thinking, what are you thinking, David? What do you think? Because really, every one of us, our response would probably be, yeah, go ahead and kill him. That turkey buzzard, he kicked rocks. He threw rocks at me. He threw dust on me. He cursed my name. When I was down, he kicked me, spit on me. And I see David, though. He says, do not I know that I am this day king over Israel? Abishai, I know who I am. Don't tell me what to do. I know who I am. And that's where I started to think. I wonder what David was thinking when he said that. I know who I am. Don't you understand? Do not I know that I am this day king over Israel? I know who I am. And in my mind, I thought about what David might be thinking as he looked at Shimei. Shimei looks at Shimei. I guarantee he's on his face saying, I've sinned against you. I know that. And so I just wrote down some things as I read this through. And I hope you'll think about it. We all need to know who we are. The first thing is, as I think about, and the title, of course, is I Know Who I Am. Number one, I think David thought, I know I'm a sinner. I know I'm a sinner. You know, David, in my mind, I see David flashing back to the day that Nathan the prophet pointed at him and said, thou art the man. Gave a parable that was a good illustration of what David had done in taking Bathsheba from Uriah and then killing Uriah. I mean, it was a great illustration. And David said, whoever did that should die. And Nathan looked at him and said, thou art the man. Thou art the man. You're the one. And I think as David looks at Shimei, I think maybe he inwardly looked at himself, which, by the way, wouldn't be a bad thing for each of us to do. As he looks at Shimei there trembling and saying, I've sinned against you, maybe he took a look at himself and he remembered why all of this happened in the first place. Why did it all happen in the first place? Do you know that after Nathan the prophet visited him, we have a record of David's prayer? Go there, if you will, to Psalm 51. Keep your place here in 2 Samuel. But go with me to Psalm 51 and verse 3. Here's what David said. David said to God Almighty when the man of God confronted him, he said, I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. I acknowledge that I'm a sinner. Verse 4, against thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. I am a sinner. As David says to his people, he says, I know who I am. He says, I know I'm a sinner. I know I'm a sinner. I know this trouble has come because of my sin. I know that for a fact. I know I'm a sinner. You know, that's why God tells us clearly in His Word, there is none righteous, no, not one. That's why God tells us clearly, Romans 3:10 and then Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Everybody here needs to know you're a sinner. You say, yeah, but I'm saved. Yeah, but you need to know you're a sinner. You know what's sad? We go to church, go to church, go to church, sing the songs, sing the songs, sing the songs, put money in the offering plate and do it week after week after week after week after week. And we kind of start thinking we're pretty good folks. But we're sinners. We are sinners. Well, you say, but I'm a good sinner. Let me tell you, Jesus died on the cross for good sinners and bad sinners. You know what? Your good sin won't get you to heaven either, just like your bad sin won't get you to heaven. But it will get you to hell, because sin is why we deserve hell. And we're sinners. I think as David looked down at Shimei trembling and bowed maybe on his face, I think David, the first thing he thought, I know who I am. I know I'm a sinner. In other words, I'm really no better than him. 1 John 1:8 says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. You know, we look around, there's a lot of sin around us today in our world. But understand, we're sinners. We're not any better than anybody else. And we know we're sinners. We have to know that to get saved. And I'm sure the majority of folks in this room have trusted Jesus to save you. You know you're going to heaven, you're saved. And we know it for salvation, but how sad, we often forget it, especially when we deal with other people. Now here's a guy that cursed David. Here's a guy that threw rocks at David. Here's a guy that kicked dust at David. Here's a guy that called him every name in the book when David was down. Here's a guy that certainly all David has to do is give the order, and this man's head is severed from his neck. But I think David, when he's telling his people here, I think when he says, I know who I am, he's saying, first of all, I know I'm a sinner. Keep in mind, one of the reasons that the Apostle Paul was so effective and such a great man for the Lord was he recognized that he was the chief of sinners. He said it openly. I'm afraid we are so afraid that people really think we are sinners that we don't really want to admit that we are sinners. And yet we are. Oh, what will they say? You know, the truth of the matter is, I stand before you today a sinner saved by the grace of God Almighty. Do you know who you are today? Do you know you're a sinner? Boy, look at those people came in. They obviously don't go to church anywhere. Do you know who you are? David said, I know I'm a sinner. Number two, I think he was thinking this. I think he was thinking, I know I've been spared. I know that I've been spared. David says, hey, listen, don't tell me what to do. I know who I am. I know I'm a sinner. I know I've been spared. Understand, David had lost the kingdom. We just read several chapters before, David is kicked out of the kingdom. The king is fleeing. The king is running from those who are rebelling against him, led by his son Absalom. He's fleeing. He's lost the kingdom, but God spared him. David, why are you fleeing the kingdom? Well, because I sinned, that's why. Because the sword, God's sword is on my family. By the way, you don't want God's sword on your family. You don't want God's sword to start cutting through your life. I guarantee that. David, what are you running from? I'm running because of my sin. He lost the kingdom, but God spared him because of, here's the key word, his mercy. Notice, go back to that prayer in Psalm 51 that David prayed after the man of God confronted him. Psalm 51 and verse 1. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. When David said, I know who I am, I think David's saying, I know I'm a sinner. But I think David's also saying, I know I've been spared. God, please give me your mercy. Abishai says, King, kill him. He cursed you. He cursed the Lord's anointed. I think David might have been thinking, by my actions, I curse the Lord. I mean, Abishai, you want me to kill someone who cursed the Lord's anointed, but by my own actions, I cursed my Lord. And I lost my kingdom, and I deserve to lose my kingdom. But God spared me. I think David might have been thinking, if God's going to be merciful to me, I should be merciful to other sinners. Micah 6:8 says, What doth the Lord require of thee? To do justly, and second, to love mercy. That's a requirement of God, to love mercy. Isn't that something? And to walk humbly with the Lord thy God. But to love mercy. Preacher, what's God require out of me? Well, he requires you to love mercy. Oh boy, we want to nail people, don't we? Yeah, they did that to me. I want to get them. One of the greatest things in the world, as you're trying to figure out who you are, is to understand this. You're a sinner. And if you're saved, you've been spared. You've been spared. Do you understand? I'm not going to go to hell. How do you know? Because I did what God said I had to do so I could go to heaven. I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. He's my Savior. It's not because of any works that I did. It's He saved me. I'm not going to hell. I've been spared. I deserve hell. I've been spared. You're a Christian today, you deserve hell too. But by getting saved, by trusting Christ as your Savior, you've been spared too. You're not going to have to experience the flames of hell. You're not going to have to go through the eternal doom and destruction of hell. If you're saved today, you've been spared. By the way, when you get saved, you're spared from a whole lot of other mess too. Oh, my. You know, I think of my roots and the alcoholism and all that's involved in the sorrow and the pain, and I've never experienced any of that. Not personally. I've been spared. I've been spared. Love mercy. Why should I love mercy? Hey, come on, what do you mean love mercy? That person did me wrong. Hey, David, don't you understand? That guy cursed your name. You were down. You were discouraged, and he called you names, and he kicked dust all over you, and he threw rocks at you, and he spit on you. Hey, come on, David, kill him. I think David, as he's saying, I know who I am. I've been spared. I've been spared. How can we love mercy for ourselves and not exercise mercy for other people who are sinners? Well, they talked bad about me. That's a sinful thing, isn't it? Yeah. And how many times have we talked bad about our own Lord? I think David had to stop and say, yes, he did curse the Lord's anointed, but I curse the Lord's name by my actions. And God spared me. You ever think about what God spared you from? You know, I know who I am. Do you know who you are? Do you know you're a sinner? Do you know you've been spared? Third thing I think David might have thought about as he's proclaiming that he knows who he is. He knows he's a sinner. I know I've been spared. But number three, I think he's thinking, I know I'm scarred. I know I'm scarred. Right after Nathan the prophet told David, thou art the man. Right after he told him, or as things went on, David started to recognize that what God says is always true. And all of a sudden, the wounds of his sin started to take place, which became scars in his life. First, the little baby born to he and Bathsheba died. Second, his daughter Tamar was raped by his son Amnon. And you know, we cover that. We go through that real fast sometimes. We just kind of go through it. I want you to think about that sometime. I want you to think about the king's daughter. I want you to think about his precious daughter. She was raped by his son Amnon. You talk about scars. I know we go through it fast, and we see David, and we see God blessing him in many, many ways. But understand this, as David ponders Shimei, and as David ponders a rock that might have hit him, maybe in the arm, or some dust that covered up his sandals on his feet, and maybe some spit and words that Shimei said. You know, David's got to be thinking about some scars that hurt a whole lot more than whatever Shimei did. The baby died. His daughter's raped by Amnon, but then Absalom kills Amnon. So one son rapes a daughter, another son kills that son. And then Absalom rebels to take the kingdom. The scars of sin. When David says, I know who I am, he's saying, I've got some scars. And of course, Absalom is killed. Chapter 18, verse 33, we read maybe one of the saddest verses in the Bible as far as a human being. The king was much moved and went up to the chamber over the gate and wept. And as he went, thus he said, oh, my son Absalom. You say, yeah, but Absalom rebelled against him. Come on, he must have wanted him dead. He didn't want him dead. That's his son. That's his son. Oh, my son, Absalom. My son, Absalom. Would God I had died for thee, O Absalom. My son. My son. That's his son. Absalom. As Abishai says, we need to kill Shimei. Kill him! Kill that man! He cursed the Lord's anointed. He deserves to die. Maybe they went through and made their case. Don't you remember he threw rocks at you, David? Don't you remember he kicked dust on you, David? Don't you remember he cursed your name, David? But in my mind, I think I see David at the funeral of that little baby. I see David as he watches his daughter's tears flowing down her cheeks because her life will never be the same because she's been raped. I see him at the funeral of Amnon. How in his mind he has to be thinking, it's his son. I see him in his mind thinking about the future funeral of Absalom. And maybe he thinks that dust and those rocks and those words, they're nothing. They're nothing compared to the scars in his life, the result of his sin. You and I, everybody here, we have some scars, don't we? Next time somebody says something bad about you, next time somebody parks in your spot, next time somebody maybe is mean to you or something like that. I want you to think about that in comparison to those scars. I want you to think about the comparison. David knew this. He knew his life would never be the same. The scars would last for the rest of his life. That dust, it's already been washed off. The rock that hit him, nothing. But those scars, that little baby, his daughter, his sons, those scars would last the rest of his life. That thing that person did, that way they treated you, that whatever it might be, do you know how little that is compared to the scars of our own sin? A fellow in Flint, Michigan, years ago, I remember meeting this man, and I could hardly look at his face. It was so hideous. It obviously had been repaired, and literally the whole side of his face and much of both sides of his face were hideous. His nose was all messed up. His mouth was messed up. He could barely talk. I couldn't figure out what was going on. So I finally asked him. I said, you know, you have a hard time talking, and I notice you've got some problems. And in his broken words, he told me there came a time in his life when he tried to kill himself. And he took a pistol and he stuck it. And at the last moment, he flinched and he literally blew the front of his face off. But he lived. And he said, every time I look in the mirror, I'm reminded of what I did. I think David, Abishai says, shouldn't Shimei be put to death? David said, shall there any man be put to death this day in Israel? Hadn't there been enough death? No more death. Because maybe David thought, it reminds me of what I did. I know who I am. I know I'm a sinner. I know I've been spared. I know I'm scarred. Number four, though, I believe he thought, I know I'm a sovereign. I know I'm the king. I know I'm the king. I'm the king. I'm the sovereign. I am the king. Well, I know I'm a sinner. I know I've been spared. I know I'm scarred. But I also know I'm the king. I'm sovereign. Understand this, folks. If you're saved today, you're a child of the king. You're not just a servant. I'm happy to be a servant of the king, but I'm his child. I'm his child by birth. I'm his child by adoption. I'm a child of the king. And David would have to face the reality that, hey, I'm the king. I got to hold my head up. And I've got a whole bunch of people that are counting on me. I have a whole bunch of people that are looking to me to be their king, to be their leader. It's not time to mope around. It's not time to pout. It's not time to get even. It's not time to find everybody that was involved in this thing. And certainly it's not time, because a man threw rocks at me and kicked dust on me and cursed my name. It's not time to kill him. It's time for me to be the king. As a child of the king, as you look at yourself and you recognize that you're a sinner and you've been spared and you have some scars brought on by yourself, as a child of the king, shouldn't we act like children of the king? It's time to act like a sovereign. You just came through a valley, King David. What are you going to do? Well, I just came through a valley. I'm going to climb. That's what I'm going to do. And you know, Christian, honestly, everybody here, we can all put ourselves right in this story. And you know, it's time to climb. It's time to climb. It's not time to say, you know, I want to go back in that valley and I'm going to find everybody that did me wrong. No, forget the stupid valley. Time to climb. Time to climb to the mountaintop. Time to go higher. Amen. It's time to get above and rise above all that stuff and get above all that, because you're a child of the king. Oh, I wish I could convince Christians who would say, I know who I am. The problem is, you know you're a sinner. You know you've been spared. You know you've been scarred. But you want to hang on to those scars and you want to look at them every day. Every day. You just want to look at your scars. Thank God David didn't do that. He knew it. He recognized it. But he knew he was the king. And it's time to move on. It's time to be the king. It's time for you to be a child of the king. If everything is in the valley, why would anybody want to join you? As a child of the king, I want people to know of the kingdom and to know of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And I want them to know that it's a better life, and it is the better life. I know I'm a sovereign, I think, was wrapped up in I know who I am. And then the last thing, I believe David was thinking, I know who I am. I know I'm a sinner. I know I've been spared. I know I'm scarred. I know I'm a sovereign. But number five, I believe this with all my heart. I know I can sing. I know I can sing. I know that though all of this has happened in my life, I can still rejoice in my Lord. In Psalm 51, David prayed this to God as he was getting right with God. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. And he recognized there is joy, wonderful joy, in God's salvation. I mean, he realized, you know, though sin causes sorrow and pain and all those things, David recognized, and I believe this with all my heart, that he could sing, that he could rejoice, that he could praise God, that he could rise above all that happened. Understand, God can and God will provide a time for you to sing again. Maybe you're in the valley. Maybe you are in the valley because of something you did. Maybe you have some wounds that are fresh because of your sin. Understand this. God can restore the joy of our salvation. There's not a person in this room doesn't have scars from sin. Not one. Unless they're so young, they don't even recognize that. But most of us could point out all kinds of scars from our sin. Praise God, we can rejoice. I thought about the choir singing. And, you know, they're up there singing and smiling and happy. And boy, there's all kinds of burdens, lots of sorrow, lots of hurt, lots of difficulty, many scars. But you know what? You can sing. I know who I am. I asked you this morning, do you know who you are? Do you know who you are? First of all, if you can recognize you're a sinner, have you ever been saved? That's why Jesus died on the cross, so you could be saved. He said, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Do you know who you are today? Are you saved? If you died, would you go to heaven? Do you know who you are today as a Christian? You know you're a sinner. You know God spared you. You know you have some scars in your life, but is there somebody you're angry at, bitter toward? Because they were a sinner too? Yeah. I look at David here and I think, you know, it's an amazing thing. Maybe the strongest thing he did, Brother Nixon preached about this not long ago, the strongest thing David did as a leader in this battle was when he said, Shimei, I'm not going to kill you. That might have been the most courageous thing yet. We're talking David took a stone and he killed Goliath. But maybe the greatest thing right here, David said, thou shalt not die, Shimei. Thou shalt not die. But I think he said that because he knew who he was. Maybe the reason you have trouble forgiving somebody, maybe the reason you have trouble with your scars, maybe the reason you just kind of forgot. You kind of forgot. Do you know who you are today? Let's bow our heads, please. Heads are bowed. Eyes are closed. No one's looking around or talking. In a moment, we'll give an invitation. But I do wonder this. Is there someone here today who'd say, preacher, if I died right now, I really don't know if I'd go to heaven. I'm not sure that I'm saved. I've never trusted Jesus as my Savior. And if I died, I do not know if I'm going to heaven. Would you raise your hand and say, please pray for me. I'm not sure I'm saved. Anyone? Please pray for me. I do not know whether I'm saved. I wonder if there's someone here today who'd say, preacher, I am a Christian. I'm saved. But God's spoken to my heart about something today. Please pray for me as a Christian. Raise your hand. All over, just slip it up. Thank you. God bless you. Father, bless our invitation and help us, Lord, to make any decision that we need to make, do anything that we need to do. Make anything right we need to make right. Help us to know who we are today, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand. 304-304, nothing between my soul and the Savior. Can you say that today? Do you know who you are? If you need to come and pray, you come.
Nothing between my soul and the Savior, God of the soul and the Savior, so that His blood
Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, the instruments continue. If you have a decision to make, come and join these. Many have come. Something you'd like to pray about, you need to pray about. Do you know who you are today? You say, preacher, I'd rather not think about being a sinner, but that is what we are. Certainly, it should help us understand why people act and do the things they do, because we are sinners. Oh, I know we should be better. I know we should do better. I know we should say better thing. I understand we preach about all that, but think about what we've done to Jesus. We've said, we've done our actions. David, you ought to kill Shimei. I know who I am. And in spite of that, and I think because of that, David said, no, thou shalt not die. If you need to come, you come. Up this way, please. 4:30 tonight, ensemble practice. 5 o'clock, all the choirs practice. Men's prayer time, ladies' prayer time. Teens will meet at 5 o'clock. Church tonight, 6 o'clock. Lord's Supper tonight. Sarah Glover will give her missionary presentation. I'll preach for probably an hour and a half. Oh, I haven't preached for an hour and a half since it's been years. I am working on a message that long. I'm just kidding. But anyway, we're going to have church tonight. I hope you'll be back. Seriously. I don't think bad of you. That's between you and God. Amen? Right? Anytime. But I would just think about old David, you know. He tarried. He wasn't where he was supposed to be. And when we're not where we're supposed to be, we get in trouble. Every time. It just never fails. Amen? Brother Don, close in prayer, please.
Father, we do thank you that you have a plan for each and every one of our lives. And Father, that ask, Lord, that you would guide us and make us willing to follow your plan and be in the place that we should be each and every step of our lives. Father, we pray that you would go with each and every one here this morning as we leave and depart from this place. Your Holy Spirit would be real and to us, and we would listen to his still small voice. Walk in your footsteps. Shine the glorious light of Jesus Christ to all that we meet. Protect us. Let us return again at our next appointed hour. I pray in Jesus' name.